changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill, Jerusalem, once again the scene was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter.
Good afternoon. It is so good to be with you. As Terry said, we were together over 30 years ago. I actually was a young graduate of another university, one who lost to Yale this week, and came to Gadsden to work with the children's. So I was up on the mountain at Belfort. I was a young candidate for ministry. We had level, like I was an exploring candidate at that time. So I began candidacy in 1990 and was ordained in 2019. So I had a long discerning process, but I'm so glad to be here with you. And I want to share that I am part of a new church start, Abundant Grace, the name of our new United Methodist Church in Albertville. And we have a long team of amazing faith disciples who are seeking to establish an ongoing United Methodist presence there. We've been navigating life together as a new community of faith, and there are folks from, think about different churches. And so we have come together learning to listen to one another as worship, study, and fellowship, and experience of last year. We've grown in understanding of how to be healthy of faith, and we've begun to incorporate new people in the life of the church, particularly those persons who have been made to feel unwelcome. As we begin Holy Week on the heels of a weird and wonderful Palm Sunday procession, Jesus and his friends have taken a step back from the crowded city and the celebratory drama that led them with the crowd to the temple. The temple was just a few decades old, and the celebration was a tradition for faithful, God-honoring people. And Jesus and his friends were part of that tradition. The crowds gathered in the city, and the tensions grew between the Jesus movement and the religious leaders. The Pharisees, though, they sought to keep control of both the physical temple, the practice of religion, and the narrative that would influence their social order. So Jesus and his friends seemed to be stepping back a couple of miles and receiving the hospitality of friends who live nearby. Historically, those who have gone before us have put together the timeline of Holy Week, looking across the Gospels, seeking the unity of the scripture, offering the different perspectives, and trying to gather up how those events must have taken place. Abundant Grace folks have taken on a new discipline this year as we've covenanted together to read the Bible again in a way that we say reading the Bible again for the first time. We're coming to the scripture with fresh eyes and ears. We've set aside our favorite translations of the scripture, and we have embraced a new simple translation called the Contemporary English Version, new like in the 90s. But it is at the fourth grade reading level instead of the 11th and 12th grade reading level of the ones that we have probably all embraced. But it helps us to hear the scripture more plainly. And as we do, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to work in us to cultivate the character of growing Christians in curiosity, empathy, humility, and wonder. And so today I'm going to read the scripture from that translation, the Contemporary English Version, as we turn to the Gospel of John. John finds himself at home among friends. Would you hear the word of the Lord from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11? 6 days before Passover, Jesus went back to Bethany, where he had raised Lazarus from death. A meal had been prepared for Jesus. Martha was doing the serving, and Lazarus himself was there. Mary took a very expensive bottle of perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet. She wiped them with her hair, and the sweet smell of the perfume filled the house. A disciple named Judas Iscariot was there. He was the one who was going to betray Jesus, and he asked, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 silver coins and the money given to the poor?" Judas did not really care about the poor. He asked this because he carried the money bag, and sometimes he would steal from it. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She has kept this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me." A lot of people came when they heard that Jesus was there. They also wanted to see Lazarus because Jesus had raised him from death. So the chief priest made plans to kill Lazarus. He was the reason that many of the people were turning from them and putting their faith in Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For as long as I can recall, today's scripture has been one of my favorite Holy Week scriptures. With just a quick glimpse into the text, I remember the story of the anointing of Jesus, that act of Mary's devotion, the scandal, the alabaster box that has become part of our collective retelling of the story. But today, we're going to enter the scripture from a different perspective. We've heard the scripture in that simpler language, hearing again for the first time. So for those who have ears to hear, may we hear what the Spirit has to say. Studying the scripture, my analytical nerdy self embraces the opportunity to make a spreadsheet or a graphic organizer. So I did. I made a chart and laid out the four gospels and where is this story. I looked for the details to compare and contrast. And doing that helps me to see the motive for the message that's being retold in these different perspectives. In Bethany, Jesus and his friends have gathered for a meal at the home of a friend. Now, Matthew and Mark tell us that they were at the home of Simon, who had previously been known for having leprosy. He may have been the leper who was cleansed by Jesus, but today he's Simon the host. This person who had been seen as unclean and was isolated has now become the person who is welcoming others. The Jesus movement is found in places that once seemed off limits. My church actually meets in the Chamber of Commerce. We were at Hammers Hall, but we were at Jefferson's with wings first. So the church is in places that have been seemingly off limits. What does that stir up for you? Where two or more are gathered in Christ's name, God is at work among us, right? The church is present. At the ball field or the bar, the campus ministry, or at the campground, who qualifies to be the host? We want to host the presence of God, but today I invite you to hear the welcome being extended to us from God, from where God is already at work in the world. Who is gathered here? The one who was unclean welcomes the Christ. Lazarus, who in his very being is a sign and a wonder. Mary and Martha, those sisters who are so known to us to be gifted and motivated differently, but both beautifully living into their friendship with Jesus. Martha always serving, Mary deeply attentive. This is a great group gathered. Would you like to gather with them? But there's someone else present named Judas. We know what Judas is going to do. We'll recall this later this week. Somebody will probably talk about it. He was welcomed to the table by Christ. Today, we see the witness of another friend of Jesus who has also welcomed Judas. Don't we love to find ourselves in this story? Facebook has had an app or a game where you can like see who you are in the Bible. That was one of the early things that came out years ago. And we love to see what character would be chosen for us. Those of us who've grown up and identified with the church have been encouraged to find ourselves in this story. I stayed and visited with Martha this morning before coming here to do my Mary thing. Disappointed in a friend recently, I could easily identify them as Judas, and another who is serving willingly and with such great gratitude, so much reflects Simon. As we seek to cultivate empathy, I want to encourage each of you to take take a fresh look at the scripture and see the Jesus movement gathering wherever you gather, both within these walls and beyond these walls. Sit with each person in the story and see how you can relate to each of these people. But then let's go farther. Let's consider the Holy Spirit working through the best motives of others, as others who may be seen as unworthy step forward with hearts of gratitude, as humble servants who quietly see a need and meet that need, as someone who offers their vulnerability from a deep inner place that makes us uncomfortable. Can we see the Spirit at work in the Jesus movement as weakness is revealed, forgiveness offered, and second chances provided for those who are longing to find their place at the table? As the Abundant Grace launch team has worked on naming our values, we've tried out different clusters of words that express the heart of the ministry that we've shared together. At Abundant Grace, we seek to live as faithful disciples through hospitality, honest conversation, and honoring diverse experiences. Hospitality just brings to mind that living into the koinonia community that we see in the book of Acts, that sharing of all things, like the early church where there was abundance and nobody had need. Honest conversations bring us to dare to move past the cultural politeness that we've been taught as Southerners to a deeper sense of listening and showing interest in understanding more than needing to be understood. St. Francis keeps calling me back there. And then our honoring diverse experiences. We don't have to think alike to love alike. That I've heard that.
Who said something like that?
Was it Brother John? One we claim to follow. And we do keep on. So along with you and along with our other churches in this annual conference and the United Methodist Church as a whole, our mission continues as we work together to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And as Methodists, don't we methodically seek to nail down those words that express our intentions to one another, to those we hope to reach, and to the community as a whole? Our theology is embedded in our music. It's part of our DNA as the spiritual family of the Wesley brothers. And at Abundant Grace, we have done our work this year to begin to adopt different songs that express the values and the culture of our little community of faith. We've moved from a great song by Brandi Carlile and the Highwaymen. It says, I want a house with a crowded table and a place by the fire for everyone, to an invitation to the Spirit saying, rain down, rain down, rain down your love on your people, O God. We're finding words to express our collective heart. As I prepared these thoughts, I remembered a phrase or a statement that's actually a title of a movie, and I may get in trouble. I don't know enough about the movie, but I apparently have homework. Look who's coming to dinner. So I need to go home and watch that movie that was produced a year before I was. But that's the words that I see as we look at Simon and Lazarus, Mary, Martha, and Judas gathering with Jesus. Look who's coming to dinner. There's a dinner church movement afoot. We're encouraged to gather for dinner in groups of others we might not otherwise meet with. Instead of our own inner circle, we can draw the circle wider. Look for those who the Holy Spirit is highlighting to us as we seek to be the church beyond the walls. One of the phrases that we have grabbed a hold of is we want to proclaim all are welcome. We've been challenged saying, well, everybody
wants to say all are welcome. What do you mean? A song has come our way. It's a song that I encountered at the Academy for Spiritual Formation, the program of the Upper Room. And the song says, "Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live, a place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace, here the love of Christ shall end divisions. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where prophets speak and words are strong and true, where all God's children dare to seek to dream God's reign anew. Here the cross shall stand as witness and a symbol of God's grace. Here as one we claim the faith of Jesus. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where love is found in water, wine, and wheat, a banquet hall on holy ground where peace and justice meet. Here the love of God through Jesus is revealed in time and space as we share in Christ the feast that frees us. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place." I want to invite you to consider some things. What's God calling you to as you enter into this journey of Holy Week? With whom will you gather this week in the season beyond Easter? And as we renew our sense of mission and purpose in the days to come, how are we receiving hospitality from those who are beyond our immediate circle? What gifts do we recognize in those who may have been overlooked or pushed aside? What's God done in our lives that serves as a motivation to keep us pushing forward in our faithful discipleship? How do we live together in community, yielding to one another, allowing for others to make mistakes in our life together, and even being able to receive grace for ourselves as we find our way forward, or maybe even fail forward? As a person in new church development, we've been told to fail fast and fail frequently, and to cultivate a culture of high tolerance for failure in our attempt to do ministry, because we've got to keep trying new things, to be daring and not let potential failure be an obstacle. What do we value that we can offer in honor of Jesus? May we be moved by the Spirit with the same compassion that moved Christ Jesus, transforming our simple message of all are welcome to communicate with more clarity and specificity to our neighbors who we see and those who we even don't see yet, saying not just all are welcome, but all of who you are is welcome in this place. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your great goodness, that every person you invited to the table, every person you walked with, and every person you found yourself in the company of is a picture of your kingdom and of our opportunities to move forward with you. God, we pray today that you would awaken our hearts to the love that you have for this world, that we would receive that love into ourselves, and that we can't contain it, but share this good news everywhere we go. God, would you help us to grow the church beyond these walls, grow us beyond ourselves. We pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now,
Would you like to take it to the bathroom?
Go ahead, Carol. I could have wrapped it all in one, but you know, I'm a Methodist. We have to separate these things. So we pray now that God would sit with us at the table as we sit with each other, that God would bless our conversation and bless the food that we are about to eat and bless the hands that prepared it and serve it. And now would you go in the love of God the Father to continue this compassionate, clear message of Christ in the world, being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit as you go.